Turn with me, if you will, to the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is flying by. That is spoken figuratively. We've taken a little while getting to the 29th chapter. We think of Proverbs as having wise saying and healthful sayings, and certainly what we have in the first verse, and we're looking at the first verse today, is a healthful saying. But there is this, there's a wide variety and breadth in Proverbs, and the stark warnings of which this is one. Actually, at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we have stark warnings as well. Let's read the first verse of Proverbs 29. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So we have here a picture, if we had to give it a title, of sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. So the first thing that we notice here is just that this proverb speaks of sudden destruction, and not merely sudden destruction, but what we could call a sudden, unstoppable destruction. Solomon speaks of destruction without remedy, total, irrevocable destruction. It's not as if we see the storm clouds on the horizon, and the clouds are billowing up, and if you're a farmer out in the field, you say, uh-oh, I better get inside and maybe get into a shelter. This destruction, there is no remedy when it comes. There is no remedy. There is no aha moment that you can save yourself because you have seen. And so frequently in the scriptures, unfortunately, this is spoken of. There may be an aha moment, but it is too late. It is too late. When the floodwaters came, although Noah had been preaching for years and years, maybe hundreds of years, when the floodwaters came, you might have seen them coming at that moment, but there was no remedy at that point. Unlike what the United States did to Japan, there was no Nagasaki and Hiroshima with Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not as if God said, well, here, let me show you. I'll just put some fire and brimstone out here near the city so that you can see. When it came and the city was destroyed. When it comes, it is sudden and irrevocable. It is, at that point, unstoppable. As I said, when the rain had begun to fall on those civilizations in Noah's time, by that time, Noah and the animals were in the ark. The door had been closed by God, Genesis 7:16. There was no entry. So when the the waters came. There was no remedy by that point. As I say, when the fire and brimstone came in Genesis 19, it was a revelation of the glory of God in judgment. There was no remedy. We see the children of, excuse me, the children of Israel in Numbers 14. They had rejected the good word of Caleb and Joshua coming back as 10 of the 12 spies of Canaan, and who said, if God is pleased with us, we will easily conquer this land. But the other 10 said, oh no, we were as grasshoppers in our own sight, we cannot possibly. And they took that to heart and refused to go up and conquer Canaan. And so Moses said, okay, well then, you have refused God's word to you. And they said, well, okay, we will now, we will go up and we will conquer. Because God, in through Moses, had pronounced that they would all die there in the desert. And so they said, okay, we'll go up and conquer. Because the destruction had been pronounced. And they said, well, we'll obey. It's just like here come the floodwaters, and people would say, now we'll obey. Well, it's too late. They went up and attempted to fight the enemies in Canaan, and they were destroyed. There is no, at that point, there is no turning back. During the time of Jeremiah, when the Babylonians were encircling the city of Jerusalem, during that whole time, a couple of years, Jeremiah said to all and sundry, including the king, if you go out to the king, out to Nebuchadnezzar, your life will be forfeit, your forfeit. In other words, you will be saved. But once the king breached the city wall, once the wall was breached, it was over. You couldn't say, oh, well, I intended to come out. I intended to surrender to you earlier. There was no more save yourself. So there is a sudden and irreversible destruction that comes from God after many reprovals. Secondly, the meaning of a hardened neck is not readily apparent on the surface. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But there are those kind of in our lifetime that have used animals in agriculture. And this is the reference that Solomon is using here, and it is not evident unless you know it. It says, he who hardens his neck, being often reproved, will be suddenly destroyed. What is the hardened neck that Solomon is referring to? Well, the hardened neck is referring to an animal that does not want to take the bridle or the yoke, and so it stiffens its neck, saying, you're not going to put that on me. It refuses to to essentially humble itself, to go underneath and become in that position in relation to the human who would put it to work. So it is from that point of view of reproofs of life, it is, may I say, a self-hardened conscience. Here comes truth. And this hardening says, essentially, I won't. I won't. It is self-conscious, it is self-induced, and it is a refusal to submit in a conscious manner. The Lord Jesus speaks to this situation. He says, agree with your adversary quickly, he says, while you're on the way with him. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. There comes a time after which there is no more a speech. There is only retribution. Nehemiah speaks of this following the captivity in Babylon. He says, we stiffened our neck and we would not hear. You see the conjunction of those two? We stiffened our neck. We hardened our own consciences. We refused and refused and refused what? To hear the reproofs of truth. And certainly those reproofs had been frequent. We have Moses both in Exodus and then throughout Deuteronomy calling the children of Israel a stiff-necked people when they continually refuse to obey, refuse to see those things that God is doing on their behalf. We see this is a stiff-necked people. God calls them that. Moses calls them that. And the prophets then call them that on a continuous basis. And this is in order that they might hear and have a mirror held up to them. The nature of the warning that is coming here, and I will repeat this later, but the nature of the warning is that there is rebuke and rebuke and rebuke, and in each case there is a shrugging off of the rebuke. And what we see Solomon saying is, you are putting off as if you have infinite time ahead of you. You're putting off as if there will always be another rebuke. Noah will always be there to preach to you. But Noah wasn't always there to preach to them. Moses wasn't always there to rebuke them one more time. And we have the same situation when God had purposed to send fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. They went to Lot's daughter's betrothed and said, you have to leave with us now. The city is about to be destroyed. And they laughed. They said, you must be joking. They could not hear. There is an inability to hear. The scriptures are saying to us here in Solomon's words in Proverbs 29, exactly what the psalmist says in Psalm 95, and we read in Hebrews chapter 3. He says, today, if you will hear his voice. The word comes to you, yesterday has passed, you don't know about tomorrow. The word comes today. Today, if you will hear his voice. Jesus tells a parable of a man who had taken the thought for everything. You know, his 401k was full. He was ready to retire. And he says, okay, I'm going to kick back and relax. And the Lord Jesus says to him, you fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. You presume on the future, and you don't have the future. The Apostle Paul brings it this way, quoting Isaiah 55. He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, today, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is a day, and you don't know the future. So when the word comes to you, the word is to be heeded. It is to be responded to. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. How do I know when the Lord may be found? Are you being spoken to? You only have now. Are you being spoken to? What is the nature of these reproofs that we see here in Proverbs or other reproofs? It is certainly the case. It is certainly the case that God is the judge of all men. I mean, he is righteous. He has created all things. He has created men in his image. He will judge. He will judge by his Son, whom he has sent. It's very easy to put that off and see that is as in some far distant future. What Solomon brings to us and these other words from the scriptures bring to us, that I'm bringing to us today, is that God brings this now into the sudden present. He focuses it. God's judgment is not merely some far-off, distant event. And by far-off, distant, it feels like, well, a long way away, if ever. God's judgment is ready to hand. God's judgment is ready to hand. For the one who is stiff-arming God, God's judgment is now. For the one who is stiff-arming God, God's judgment is now. You don't know that you have tomorrow. So repent now is the word of the gospel. That's the good news. Repent now. Now. Now is the acceptable time. But isn't this this word here that God can at any moment cut the sinner off? Isn't this a cruel and vindictive word? Isn't this a cruel and vindictive word? Wouldn't that be something that would be said in response? Well, let me respond to that by saying that it is clear that men are blatantly sinning against God all day, every day. God is not cutting every man off as he sins. He does not immediately punish sin. first of all. Secondly, the fact of this reproof is kindness. God is with this statement of Solomon's, lending urgency to the necessity of turning to him in repentance, noting the stiff neck, as if we have a hurt neck and have this big old collar on that keeps my neck stiff at all times. Why is my neck stiff? Oh, well, that's because I have ignored the reproof of life over and over. So the warning here in this proverb, with its added urgency, serves as another reproof. And the content of it is, do not presume on the future. The only one who has the future is God, and he can cut your future off at any point because your sins deserve that. What he's saying is, don't trifle with Almighty God. God is using this reproof to add urgency to turn to God and to seek him. Thirdly, that God is not merely vindictive. He is not merely saying there is judgment. He is by giving this warning, he is declaring that he is righteous and that he forgives sin, that he does not immediately punish sin because he has punished sin in the person of his son on the cross. There for all to see. On the cross, Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners. God did not and does not immediately punish sin because he has published the punishment of sin, planned before all ages. That is his declaration of his own righteousness. No, he does not cut men off one by one as they shake their fist in his face in daily sin. He has instead poured out his wrath on a substitute, namely the Son of his love. So there's not a vindictiveness. Instead, there is a kindness behind this strong statement. God will, in fact, cut off sin and sinners for all time at some point, and for each man at some point. And this warning is apropos. It's apropos for those who have never turned to the Lord Jesus. It's apropos for everyone who has, that we for sure heed the reproofs of Scripture, that we are not in some way stiffening our own neck to sin that we know of, that we keep a tender spirit toward sin as it is pointed out to us by every means that the Holy Spirit does that to us. These are kindnesses. These are kindnesses, as we see here. So God is being kind in another reproof, and it is well to heed it. So Solomon gives a powerful reproof. Those with hard necks and those without would do well to heed today. Let's close this session with prayer.